Gentlemen, welcome back to the God of Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed, here with the big bro, Andre Jalil, and regular Joe. How y'all feeling tonight, y'all?
Chilling, man. Chilling. We just got a W. Feeling good.
Yeah, man. We stunk up in L.A. Got that win.
We cut loose to L.A., bro. That got me upset.
Right. Not two in L.A. How about you, Joe? How you feeling?
Feel good, man. It's nice to get back in the win column. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't let Brooklyn move ahead of us. I don't like that.
Yeah. So, three straight losses definitely hit us.
We need to get back on track.
Mm-hmm. And then didn't they just get a dub tonight versus Denver, Brooklyn? Yeah. So
sure did.
Definitely changed things up. So you know.
Shout out to Jokic.
Shout out to Jalen Brunson's foot. Unfortunately. But yeah, we here with it. As my man in the chat said, shout out to the chat. We get the dub. Now, it wasn't the greatest start. It was pretty ugly. I'm not going to lie. I was cursing RJ Barrett's name the first half because it was pretty damn ugly. And deservedly so. I mean, I didn't say I want him off the team like everybody else, but I was enough to curse him out throughout the game. Until the second half came around and he stepped up the way he should have. And he started knocking down shots.
What'd you see in the second half? I'm curious.
Efficiency. He was more efficient in the second half. Just getting to a spot and getting to the basket and making those shots. My frustration in the first half just came with him not passing it. There was a few times where he just had fast breaks when it was like 3-on-2, and he just didn't take advantage of that.
I heard about the fast break.
Yeah, he just
John Wallace was pretty critical of him on that one break.
I mean, it was a few, but there was one that was particularly very unacceptable. But, you know, we can't get mad at the kid all the time because he does try. But it's only but so much you could deal with, man. But second half, he turned it around. He had a better finish to the game. He ended up with 30 points on 12 of 27 shooting, one of three from the three-point line, and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Only one turnover, though, despite a lot of the questionable decision-making that I did see. But I don't know. What about you, Dre? Tell me what you saw.
I honestly missed the first half, so I know I would have been frustrated. But what I did like is what I love. Anytime I talk positively about RJ, it's when he's going to the basket, right, and he's making the shots. It drives me nuts when he's like missing layups and he missed a couple. Mm-hmm. But I just love that aggressive going. It's like nobody could even stop him. It was like they had nothing for him when he was going to the basket. It was just like he's going to the basket. You know, he mostly went left. Mm-hmm. And even if he goes right, he stops and pops with the left. Like he figures out how to get it back to his left hand.
Oh my god!
But I appreciate that aggressiveness because it's like there's nothing you could do. I feel like any player that makes it clear that they go into the basket and that's it, like it's kind of one of those things of basketball, it's kind of unstoppable. You kind of can't stop that. Right. You know what I mean? You know, depending on the player. And RJ's big enough, he's strong enough where he could get in there and he pretty much was getting his way in the paint. But I hear what you're saying. It looks like he was probably trying to make up for what he did in the first half.
I can't even say he's making up for it because that's just RJ.
RJ's, and that's my thing. My gripe with him has always been his inconsistency.
Right.
And every now and again, he gets beat real bad on defense. It's just like he's flat-footed and it's just like he was just like almost like a cone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But overall, I still like the fact that he was getting in there. I thought that was real dope.
Right.
I think at least he was trying. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a lack of effort on his part, like you said. He's in there trying.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get mad at RJ for his effort because he gives the effort that you wish a lot of guys give on a night-to-night basis. Mm-hmm. Which can be encouraging, but that doesn't mean that it's not frustrating when, you know, he's overlooking teammates. I mean, there was a few times where even Julius Randle was like shaking his head because it's like, dude, like, come on. Like, what are you doing? There was one
play. I hope they look at that. I really hope they look at that.
I'm sure they see it. I'm sure they see it.
I mean, just in the film session, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They got to. They got to. And it has to be addressed. I just think that RJ needs to figure out where his sweet spot is and stay there. I think sometimes he tries to do a little bit too much.
I think his sweet spot is that layup. The left side of that, the basket. That's what seemed like he... That's his luck. I never seen him take more shots than over there.
Yeah, and it's my frustration with RJ, and I'm a big RJ fan, so I'm gonna let him have it. But my thing is, I don't like the off balance, off the back foot
layup
fadeaways he tries to put up off the pivot. It's never pretty. It doesn't look good. It's very terrible, quite frankly. It doesn't ever look good. It doesn't look good. Sometimes he makes it, but it's very frustrating sometimes when he does it. And then, you know, they play good defense, so he fakes around the pivot like a few times. And it's like, yo, RJ, just pass it. Like, because now there's three people on you, and you know that they all know you're about to throw the ball up. You're not looking at the basket. You're trying to pivot around. It's like, yo, just throw the ball. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's my thing. I don't mind you getting to the basket. It's the second, third, and fourth attempts in the same drive. Like, yo, yeah, they know what you're doing now.
It becomes a blind spot. Like, he gets so deep in there, he can't see. Everybody's trying to jump over him.
Exactly.
And then it's like he can't see nothing after that.
And then there was a play in the first quarter where he did that same move. I guess it might have been Austin Reeves. It was a guard. It might have been Michael Beasley. I think it was Malik Beasley he was trying to guard. Or he was trying to score on in the post. He faked it in the middle. He spun around, did the head fake, and off the back leg, he tried to go up and floated in, and Anthony Davis came out of nowhere and just sent it to like the third row. So it's like after the second and third tries to get into that spot, they know what you're doing. You know what I mean? But to RJ's credit, he figured it out in the second half and was a lot more efficient. So I gotta give him that. You know what I mean? That's just me. Shout out to the chat. Izzy, of course, what's going on, bro? Peace and abundance. Peace and abundance. Great win. Definitely a great one tonight.
Because it was the Lakers. It would have been nice.
It was the Lakers. Yeah, man. And we had to stop the bleeding on this West Coast trip. We had to, because who we have next? Portland. And you don't need Dame to have a good game and Cam Reddish to have a good game and then Portland win. Because
Cam's gonna be out there gunning.
Nick's Twitter is already going crazy because Cam Reddish said it wasn't about basketball, it was politics. And
I believe it because he's nice.
His thing was, when you miss a shot in New York, it's different than missing a shot in New York. Like, you had to make the shot when you took it in New York.
He was like, and I'm not the only one that feels that way.
And I'm not the
and
only
I know he's talking about Barrett.
Boo,
no,
fucking
I think
hell.
I think he was talking about Obi. But at the end of the day,
me a river.
Right. I'm like, dude, it's as simple as the role you needed to play the game you're playing now wasn't here for you. And that's that. Like, if there was no Grimes or RJ, by any means, take as many bad shots as you want to take.
So, Cap, like you put up on Twitter, because it gets annoying. Somebody keep putting up stats on like what he did at the game. It's like, all right, he's not here. He's not with the Knicks no more. Great.
Yeah, like we don't care.
He's a basketball
right.
player. He's a basketball
like, player. Yeah, I legitimately don't care what Cam is doing over there. But,
right, and I'm not even mad at him. I'm happy for him that he's doing this thing. But
I'm happy for him. I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. I wish him the best, bro. But,
yeah,
you know,
100%.
He's in Portland now. He's literally about as far away from you get from New York as possible. And still be in the U.S. Like, I don't care.
Nobody ever hated him. And it's just like him, this dude, whoever that is, I don't know if it's the Muse or one of them, just keep bringing it up. It's like, dude, all right. You know what I mean? He's not here.
Cam
he could have did X, Y, and Z. He was all right. It wasn't like we were killing it with him in the lineup either. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, all right, bro.
And that's another thing. We made the trade for him and then won 9 straight games. And then you still got Knicks fans talking.
Why are we still talking about him, yo?
Like,
we won 9 straight games and Josh Hart has been incredible.
Thank
so,
you.
Like, why is this dude still coming up?
I love it. I love that Josh Hart
trade. So, I tell you, when Cam Reddish becomes an all-star and an all-NBA player, right, then howl at me about this trade. Yeah. But as long as he's a role player, he's a role player who was traded for another role player. Who cares?
That's right. Like, and I'm sick of having the conversation about this guy. Because, yeah, he could have offered us something when he wanted to play. Like, there was someone on Twitter that said, this guy, pardon me. There was a guy on Twitter that was saying, like, bullshit, Cam, because there was games where during warm-ups, you had Fournier and Obi and guys out there who know they're not going to play, Derrick Rose, who know they're not going to play, and they're out there in warm-ups like with everybody else, getting shots up with no attitude, and you're on the side with flip-flops on. Like, people have seen this shit. So you can't get to go to another team and talk about, oh, yeah, you see I can play basketball now, right? They didn't let me play ball over there. When there's so much more to playing in the NBA than just playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason why there was another tweet that I put out the other day. Like, there should be some sort of annual role player of the year award so that people can, so that there's just someone who there's someone on the team that values basketball and that there's an award for that. So people can, hopefully it can infect a whole lot of teams with guys who just don't know what the hell of playing a role is in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you don't always have to be a star or not. Like, I just feel like sometimes people feel like if you're not a star, you're not a good player in the NBA. And I don't know. That's just my point of view, man. I feel like Cam just didn't have the position here that he needed. And they found a way to get him somewhere where he can play that. Because he basically said in so many words.
You got a great guy.
In not so many words, he basically said, I get to take as many shots as I want here and miss as many as I want.
That's basically, well, you're on a bad team.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, this is exactly why you couldn't take those shots here. Because this is the team that's headed to the playoffs, and I don't know what the hell Portland is doing right now. And I don't even think Portland knows what they're doing. So,
I feel bad for Damian, man. They're not going anywhere for a little while.
It's hard for me to feel bad for Dame.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, Portland shouldn't be this bad.
They really shouldn't.
Like, it shouldn't be this bad, bro.
No.
Like, I'm looking. Look at the – well, Simons is out right now. But, like, Jeremy Grant is a heck of a player. Like, Damian Lillard, we all know he's all world. Like, Nurkic is a good player. Like, this team should not be this horrible, bro. Like, 31 and 37. Like, what is that? 10, 11, 12, 13 in the West? 13th in the West, bro. There's only 15 teams, guys. So Cam could go over there and do whatever he's doing. Fact of the matter is, Portland is 31 and 37. They're only two games back from a play-in. And they had the nerve to sit guys because they were on the tarmac too long when you're still trying to get in a play-in. They lost three straight. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And they have a minus point differential. So,
and you think Cam has anything to do with that?
He doesn't have anything to do with it either way or another. He hasn't been there long enough to.
Good or bad,
but
right.
But my point is, like, Cam's been there for over 10 games. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Can we stop talking about Cam Reddish? In fact, we spent way too much time already on this show talking about Cam Reddish.
Right.
My bad. I didn't mean to send it over that direction.
Nah, you didn't.
No. It's not your fault, bro. Like, but the fact of the matter is, bro, like, the Blazers stink, yo.
they're a trash team, and it sucks because they have good players over there.
But that being said, they still have Damian Lillard, and the Knicks need to go in on Tuesday night and handle business. They're not just going to walk out of their building with a win.
Yeah, that's an away game. We have to go in there and win in their arena.
Yeah, and they're 17 and 15 at home, so they win some games at home.
They win some games at home. Shout out to you, Toxic. Toxic in the building. So yeah, man, it's you really can't go in there and lay an egg. Last time we were on the show, I know there's a lot going on. But we were talking about the Charlotte loss, and you did say if that happens, it's on me. And I just want to let you know that I went to Spectrum Center and I flattened a few tires after that game. So, you know, all is well in Charlotte over here. But anyway, to go on that three-game
streak. I want to hear about the tires you flattened. That's all.
Listen,
I want to know.
We don't want to talk about, allegedly. There was some alleged tires being flat.
100%.
Alleged broken windows.
Yeah.
At the Spectrum Center. No, but
the desire was there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I kind of figured that we were going to lose that game only because that's just the Knicks thing to do. The games after was
for... And homeboy doing all this, I just want to comment, bro.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like, it's too much, bro. Like get again, bro. Like, I mean, I'm looking at the standings, bro. I have the standings right here in front of me. Like, your team's 22-48, bro. Like, stop.
Wow.
Stop it. Now, mind you,
top of the lottery headed.
I don't know if you've seen that stat I put up though. They've been playing like elite defense the last week and a half or so.
Right. Yeah. They have.
But still, like, you're still 22-48. You're blowing kisses to the crowd, taking bows. Like, I mean, Uber is a clown.
You can't do that while you're headed to the lottery. You literally can't.
When you're 26 games under 500, like, relax, bro. Relax.
Keep bugging up. It was an annoying game to watch. We figured that we could get that win without Jaylen, and we couldn't. So what we do is we go into who we play after that? Was that the Clippers game? Yeah, Clippers game.
No, not Clippers.
No,
it was Sacramento.
Sacramento, and we go into Sacramento first half, and it's a game. Jalen Brunson has 19 points at that in the first half, and then he doesn't come out second half, and that was like the tail of the game. You know, the fourth quarter, the Kings are the best fourth quarter team in the league. And they showed it because of De'Aaron Fox. And De'Aaron Fox just went crazy. I think he might have had, I don't know how much he had. I think he might have had 20-something points that game. But I do know that he only had 8 in the first half. Or I think through the first 3 quarters or some shit like that.
Yeah, he went crazy in the fourth quarter.
He went crazy, period.
He went nuts. He went nuts.
He on my fantasy team. I'll be looking at his numbers. I'll be like, oh, he don't stop playing.
Nah, that dude's a dog, man, and they play a great brand of basketball.
I thought the worst thing that happened in that game was the Knicks fell all the way back, right? Because
yeah, it looked like they were gonna take. They could have went that way.
And then they tied it at 96, and then Darren Fox just comes down, off the screen, and splashes a 3. That was the beginning of the end, bro, when he hit that 3.
Yeah.
And in everything he did after that, he just couldn't miss. It just Euros to the basket and just finishing the way – it was almost Kyrie-esque the way the dude was finishing.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. It's scary, like, because it's Kyrie, like, handle and skill, but, like, Russell Westbrook speed and explosiveness.
Yeah.
It's spooky, bro.
It's either between Russell or I always, I don't know who to compare it more to, Russell or John Wall in his prime, but either or, it's fast as shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I think the biggest thing that happened that game to us was us losing Jalen Brunson. I think we could have won that.
Oh yeah,
we could have won that game, but we didn't.
I got into an argument with some dude who was like basically saying like these guys should be ashamed of the way they played tonight, and I'm like, ashamed of what? Like, their best player goes down right before halftime,
right?
They come out, they fall behind, they could have easily just let go of the rope and said, you know what, we don't have our guy. Like, that was demoralizing. Let's just pack it up and get ready for the Clippers. But they didn't, because this team doesn't do easy, bro. I've been saying this shit all year. They don't do easy. They don't quit. So instead of them packing it up and saying, yo, enough, let's just, you know, save our energy for the next game, they fought back and they tied. They had the game tied halfway through the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't pull it out because, I mean, it's hard to pull out games at the end when you don't have your guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're not getting, especially when you're not getting a great performance from Julius.
You know that.
You know what I mean? And
go ahead, Dre. They're so close that, like, and maybe I don't want to transition into quickly, but they're like so close, like without Brunson.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, to pull back into these games, and you see how, like, they're right there, and, like, that one piece is Brunson. Like, you know, it's right. Clear that
I mean, Dre, I've been saying it all year, bro. Like, yeah, they're a good team. They're a good team, bro. Good team. And they're not just gonna go away.
Nah, like, and that's what I love. And so it's encouraging to see, like, the three. Like, I get it. We got three in a row without our star point guard, which is the biggest. That is, like, the biggest thing we've been missing, and that's, like, the biggest piece.
Right.
But we are, like, where we are last season, where we were, like, all these games, we were very, 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 very close without that point guard. And it just shows how important Brunson is and how right. We got to keep him he's got to be kept healthy. What I'm happy about him being out, I'm glad we got this W against L.A. Mm-hmm. and the Lakers, is that, you know what I mean, at least he's getting some time where he's getting healthy. Because, you know, there probably could have been more than his foot. He had missed some time before that. You know what I mean? Ankle right. or foot, whatever, he landed awkwardly or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets better soon, but at least he's getting that rest. And we could really just, you know, we could wreak havoc. Because how many games we got left? 10?
Nah, I think we got
more than that. I think it might be like
14. It's 12 games left.
Oh.
12, yeah, something like that. Somewhere in that ballpark.
Nah, Toxic said, he was saying about
Deuce.
Yo, Deuce was big tonight, bro.
If it wasn't for Deuce, I think at that point in the game, we could have slipped and then we could have lost that lead.
Yeah, Deuce was big tonight. I mean, and but ain't that what you want from him, bro? That's all you want from him. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not asking for a whole bunch. Just give me a little bit, bro. Hit a few threes. Hit a few open threes and, you know, play some defense. And, I don't know, get a couple steals or whatever. Just hustle shit, bro.
Right. I don't know. when guys get brought into the rotation and you get pushed further back into the rotation, a lot of guys can't handle that. Deuce is a worker, you know what I'm saying? And he's a team guy, so he's ready every single time his number's called. One guy we haven't seen since a questionable appearance in the dunk contest, Jericho Sims. You know what I mean? It's been pretty quiet since.
He got 0 minutes.
I don't think he's played contest.
Nah, he ain't played since. I mean, well, he didn't play. It's not. He didn't play because Mitch came back, though. Like,
yeah, I mean, Mitch did come back.
Relax, Cat.
No. They said, nah, you embarrassed the shit out of us.
At like, that yo, the fuck was that, bro? It's such a...
Word. They were like, the fuck was that? No. Go sit down. No.
They said, you want timeout to the playoffs.
You imagine that? As soon as you come back to the office, yo, you want timeout to the playoffs.
What did y'all think of Julius tonight overall?
So Julius definitely had a Julius type game.
I was just gonna say Julius was definitely Julius.
He was Julius. He literally did everything that Julius normally does.
Yeah, big first quarter, right? Big first half. A good enough second half. Couple of questionable turnovers. I didn't actually watch it because I was listening on the radio, but I'm sure he had a couple of missed assignments on defense because that happens too.
He stood there a couple times. A shot was going up and he just stood and like wait to see. And, you know, he was late, but he didn't even give an effort.
I mean, he started off. I mean, even though he did have a pretty good first quarter, he did start off that quarter pretty bad. Like it was. I think he was like 1-for-4, 1-for-5 to start the game.
The one and thing then, I don't like, bro,
what
is that? Before the All-Star break, right? I don't know what happened, but before the All-Star break, he was rebounding like an animal, bro.
He was.
He ain't really been rebounding like that since the break. Has anybody noticed that?
Yeah, he hasn't. It's been a lot of like 8 rebound games, 7 rebounds.
Uh-huh.
I saw him the last game. It looked like he was fighting with one of his the teammates, because I feel like it's almost like he's like, well, Josh Hart trying to grab everything anyway.
Oh, hold on. You just said it.
Josh Hart been grabbing like crazy rebounds.
Nah, well, Josh Hart and Mitch has been back. So
that's right.
That's true too.
I forgot about that. Mitch takes up a lot of space in there, and he grabs hella rebounds.
You know that is true.
Sometimes he gets so deep into under the basket that you don't even know he's there until the rebound gets ripped down. So I do think that has a lot to do with it. I think Julius knows that he can probably get the lone rebounds. Get the lone rebounds instead of having to box out and grab boards. Because I know if Julius boxes out and grabs boards, he'll grab damn near 20 boards in a game.
Yeah, he was fighting with somebody.
He hasn't had to do that as much. But they did a great job against Anthony Davis tonight, man.
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein. They started off pretty well against him. And, you know, it just continued. I mean, Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. He's been on a tear as of late. I don't know what the hell someone said to him. Somebody said it was the fact that LeBron tried to trade him before the deadline. And, you know, they tried to say that the LeBron... That was why he wasn't happy when LeBron had
That's a read, but you can draw that.
People try to go too hard with these things. But ever since he came back from that injury during that time, he's been cooking. But Julius Randle definitely did his thing, man. He ended up with 33 points tonight, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. 3 turnovers, 8-11 from the free throw line, 3-12 from the three-point line. Those 12 three-pointers are the reason why he got into the three-point contest, if y'all wondering why. He gets him up.
I mean, he gets him up, but last I checked, I don't know if he's still there. But at the All-Star break, he also is top 10 in three-pointers made.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it takes like, 12 game.
I guess my thing is, like, any shoots of a little below league average. I mean,
hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's an acceptable. I welcome it, bro. Like, let them shit fly. Because this team don't have enough guys that let it fly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm totally okay with him letting that thing go, bro. Like, especially if you're gonna shoot 34%, like, let it fly, bro.
One thing that I've noticed, Josh Hart doesn't take a lot of the three-pointers that are available to him.
That's what I mean.
And that's probably why as much as people want it, you're not going to see RJ getting ripped out of that starting lineup, because those shots need to go up. You know what I'm saying?
You said Hart doesn't take a lot of those threes?
He does. Yeah, sometimes he'll be open, but he'll just like do a little pump fake and then pull it out.
Yeah, or try to make the better pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, which I don't, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. But those shots need to go up and they need to respect it. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's like, yo, I need you to get that shot up. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes I feel like he has a slow wind up. So that might be why. But he was 2-for-4 tonight from three.
He won't shoot it though. He won't shoot it unless he's like
wide open. Wide open, and that is, hopefully that doesn't hopefully that's not a hindrance to him going forward, because I do think there will be some times where we need him to take a three and instead he tries to make a better play.
But that's the reason why, that's the only thing that I'm not crazy about with the Hart, RJ, Mitch, Randall, and it's quickly now, but like Brunson in the lineup, it's like you got two guys. RJ don't mind letting it fly, but I mean, he's been, I don't know if anybody else noticed, like, he's been really bad from three lately.
Terrible from three this year.
Like, but like recently, like the last few games, like he's one of 8, 1 of 7. Like it's been rough. Mm-hmm. So
well, since the All-Star break.
You got him and Hart in the lineup. So it's just the spacing is not great. That's all.
Right. Right. You just want to see that shot get knocked down a little bit more. So RJ.
And that's I was just saying that spacing is important for like Randall and Brunson.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, that's why RJ stays in that lineup so much. That's why Quentin Grimes, even though he doesn't put up a lot of shots. That's why he's in that lineup, is because that spacing needs to be there. They need that spacing.
But it also changes, though, when Brunson is healthy, right? Because usually RJ is not closing. It's right. Usually quickly Brunson and Hart, which mm-hmm. changes everything. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Then you have some shooting.
You got quickly and Brunson out there. You can't really play off of either one of them.
But in that sense, Hart can play more of a playmaker when you have
exactly.
Quickly and Brunson at the perimeter.
Exactly.
And Brunson's been shooting a hell of a higher percentage than what people thought he would from three this year. Which I think was around like 39 or 38% he's shooting.
This year? Nah, bro.
40? Is it in the 40s?
It's like 42 last I checked.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Like Brunson been like, they be like his field goal percentage for the game be like 50% some of these games. I'd be like, God damn, like what?
Yeah.
Where's he shooting from?
What is Brunson's percentage from three?
Some games he be had, they be like 48%, be like 50, 52. I'd be like, yo, is he doing all layups? That's like nah, that's center like numbers.
He's shooting a good percentage from three. Let's see.
41% right now.
41%. That's outrageous, bro.
I'm just gonna say that.
Because people would not call him a 3-point shooter before he came here, ever.
Yeah, but you know what though? He didn't shoot it with like the volume that he's shooting it at this year.
Right.
But I mean, for his career, he's still 38%, bro. So he's a really good 3-point shooter. But what surprised me is a couple things that surprised me. I knew that he was good in catch and shoot situations. Mm-hmm. What surprised me this year is his 3-point shooting off the dribble. I didn't see that coming, bro.
Yeah, the pull-ups and around the screens and the step-back threes, it's kind of like, that's not what I expected to see.
Yeah, that I didn't see coming. But again, he didn't have to take those shots in Dallas.
Right. Right, yeah, he didn't. I mean, those shots were taken by, of course, Luka Doncic, because it was a ton of those launched by Luka. But you know what I mean? When you're the main guy, you can take a ton of those shots. And that's kind of what you're seeing from Brunson. But he also doesn't take bad shots. That's the thing about Jalen. Even if he's taking a contested three, it's not a bad shot. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a shot that you're comfortable with him taking. I'm just looking forward to seeing him back in the jersey. Hopefully it's not anything, God forbid, plantar fasciitis like. I know what that's like.
I hope not, bro. Don't say that.
That's like, that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
Don't say that, bro.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that it's just something that's just like a sore. Maybe it's a bone kind of thing. But whenever you get hurt and it's non-contact, those scare me. Those really, really scare me a lot. Quickly tonight. Great game from Quickly. I can't say great game. Numbers.
Great first half.
Great first half, yeah. Second half was a little rough. 15 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line, 6 of 12 from the field. Like you said, I think he only scored 2 points in the second half, and that's not what you really want from Quickly, but you know, we still got the dub. The fact that he was our second highest negative is not what you want to see.
It's not what you expect either. Like, I mean,
expect.
Last I looked, he was like top 10 in the league in plus minus, bro.
I mean, he does everything.
Everybody's going to have a bad game, right? And we still got the W.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like, he's a two-way player, so I don't know. It's just one of those anomaly games, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just think every player has
it. Right, you don't want to harp too much on that.
Yeah, because he definitely gets a pass.
Yeah, especially the games.
Probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that kid brings it every single night, man.
Every single night, and you gotta love it. You gotta love it. Shout out to my boy Taj, Mr. Last Labs, going on, man. Great win, y'all needed that for sure.
Taj, what up, baby?
For sure, man.
Definitely,
especially getting that in LA. We couldn't lose twice in LA. So you know, it's unfortunately we had to take three of those to get back to where we at. Hopefully there's no more of those kind of losses. Like, you know what I mean? Hopefully we can get Jalen Brunson back next game and, you know, continue to.
I'm not counting on it, bro.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to, especially going into the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to ease.
Hold on, let me take a look at this schedule, because I know the schedule pretty soon coming up here is.
I got it up. It's right here.
I think the last 11 games, they only play like 11 games in 27 days.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of rest coming up.
Mm-hmm. So they got Portland on Tuesday, and they don't play another game until Saturday.
What?
At home, yeah.
Yeah, they need that, bro.
So yeah, they might not let them play that game, and just they have him back Saturday.
Yeah, there's no point. It's no point. There's no point in bringing him out there on Tuesday night, bro.
Yeah, there's no point. I think if we can get a win versus a team that's struggling in Portland, I think that would really, really work for Brunson. This way we can give him another game of rest and we don't have to play until Saturday. Like, he didn't play last game against the Clippers, which was last night. So he didn't play the back-to-back Saturday or Sunday. Last game he played was Thursday. He played half that game. So he wouldn't be playing until the next Saturday, which is basically like a week and a day or two, a week and 2 days. I think that's a hell of a lot of time for him to just stay off of the foot. I wouldn't be surprised if they sat him for another game. I really think they should at this point, not talking about it. I really don't want to see Jalen Brunson. Because the last thing you want to do is re-injure it right before the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think we see him at least until that Denver game.
Yeah, until that Denver game. You got him on Saturday. It's a 1 p.m. game, March 18th. That's actually my brother's birthday. Shout out to Andre Jalil.
Hey. He clapping already.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Word. Let's get him that dub. Let's get him that dub. If y'all can do that.
Let that be the birthday gift.
You know what I mean? Nix, let's do this. Let's do this for the big bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he don't really get it. You know what I mean? He don't brush his teeth all the time. So, you know what I'm saying? This is kind of games. Yeah, like this kind of games you kind of want to get him to be in a good mood. Because, you know, anytime you get him brush his teeth, it's like, yo.
Yeah, for that day, I brush the teeth. Y'all got to win that one.
We had a little big brother, little brother moment there. Anyway, so after that.
I'll just stay out of it.
He was like, I
did notice the teeth do.
I was here mad quiet, like, I don't know what's going on, but
I heard the crickets. Nah, but so then after that, we don't play again until Monday. So our next three games are, there's only basically within, literally 7 days. About 7 days, we only play three games. So there's a lot of rest there for these guys. Practice too, I think that means a lot. These guys get to get some practice time in. That's not something that you usually get during the season. To get that practice time in towards the end of the season, I think will do us like justice going into the playoffs. So we can build towards something. Then we got the Timberwolves, which should be a win. I'll be honest. What is their standings in the West right now?
I mean, that team is desperate though, man. That team's trying to get in, so.
The Lakers are too, though.
Let's see. Where he at?
I don't look at anything as like something should be a win. Right, yeah, especially not after fucking Charlotte, man.
That's Charlotte. Yeah, we shouldn't be. Actually, yeah, they're a 7-seed team. So, I mean, they're still in it. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of it did have a lot to do with Russell being there. And he's not anymore. So, I'm not sure how much they've been. They're on a 2-game losing streak as we stand today.
D'Angelo scared me today. I was like, damn, they got D'Angelo. He been playing good. I was like a little nervous.
You know, he notoriously played bad against the Knicks before tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like he technically, I think he only averaged like 11 points per game versus the Knicks in his career. And he came out and I think he had like 16 in the first quarter. So he wanted to put that to rest. But anyway, they don't have him anymore over there. I don't know about that Timberwolves team. Anthony Edwards is a good player. Of course, you got Karl Anthony Towns there, but
I don't know. Anthony Edwards is having a, that boy is having a year, bro.
Hell of a year. Hell of a year. Hell of a year. I don't know. Then we got the Heat again.
They desperate.
The Heat, not only are they desperate, they want some payback. You know what I'm saying? They need a little, they need some payback versus them. Didn't we just win twice in a row versus them? The last two? Yeah, we won the last two.
Nah, well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we won the last two versus Miami. What? No. Did we? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yep. Yep. And then we got to play them again.
Yep.
So we got them on Wednesday.
So we played them twice. Did we win both?
We played them. Yeah, we won twice so far. So there's still two games left. And I'm sure they're going to want to even that series out because just for playoff seeding,
getting to that
last portion of the season, you just want to have better seeding. You want to win a lot of these matchups versus teams just in case you end up leaping them. I mean, let's be honest. We lost three games and Brooklyn won a few, and then Brooklyn took the spot over right ahead of us. So we really got to lock it in and just win as many games as we can. We back in sixth place. We can't drop again, which I don't see us doing. I don't see us dropping to the seventh.
Yeah, but realistically, though, I mean, you want to get that fourth seed, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't want
to. You should be able to outplay. Mm-hmm. You should be able to outplay Brooklyn down the stretch.
You should.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, bro. You just don't. You don't want no part of that sixth seed, man.
You don't. We don't. I don't want to see anyone but Cleveland in the first round.
Who's in three? I was going to say, who's in three? Cleveland?
Philly.
I think Philly.
Philly. So,
well, you know how hard they play in the playoffs. I take Philly.
I'm with you, bro, there, but I don't.
But check it out, though, bro.
Embiid is still there, bro. Embiid is still there.
Check it out, though. First round Harden is a little bit different, though.
First round
is when you get deeper.
That's the only time he plays in the playoffs, for sure.
He ain't got the stamina. I was going to say, if we got big man, but we just let Moses go, like, what happened?
Hey, like I said to y'all in the group chat, Moses knew he wasn't playing. He's from New York.
I thought that was going to be a deep move. I thought that was, like, deep in the playoffs to some of one of the big guys go down. I thought that's what that was.
It never made sense to me because it's like you already have Jericho, who's been playing the best backup role that you can really have. Why bring in Moses Brown? I never even understood the role.
So what were they doing? What they signing for to let him go like that? It wasn't even 10 days.
I don't even know.
I'm not sure. You have to. They changed course. Who knows? You have to ask the Knicks, bro.
Or they probably worked him out and said, "Nah, I'm good." It could have been something as simple as that. You know what I'm saying? But Taj, Mr. Laugh Lash. I guess it's tired. What time is it? Hey, Mr. What, 12 o'clock?
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock, bro. We bugging.
So, wait, it's 1 o'clock? Oh, it's 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we definitely went ahead in time. But anyway, okay, time to take shit up. Do y'all think Julius can keep a level head and lead this team to a playoff series win? And how far do y'all honestly see this team going?
I can see second round, bro. If we get a favorable matchup, Cleveland is a tough first round, but I don't. It's not like, oh, it's a wrap. I think we could come out there with a first round win.
What about you, Joe?
I think that as much as we like that, I'm looking at the way the question is worded. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, Julius is not going to lead this team to a first round playoff series. Jalen Brunson will.
There you go. If we're counting on Julius,
yeah. If Jalen isn't healthy, then Godspeed to the Knicks. That's all I can say, bro.
See you next year.
Let's get number 11 right. Then we could talk about what we expect out of number 30.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah, it really depends on Jalen's health. Because if Jalen is healthy, things are easier on Julius. Because look at what Cleveland's going to throw at Julius, especially if Jalen is out. Like, they got two monsters in the middle, bro. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, Jalen's got to be healthy, bro. Jalen's got to be healthy.
You need Jalen there to offset the doubles that will get sent to Julius every single play.
And just his shot making, bro. Like, his absurd shot making. Like, the type of shots that you need guys to make in the playoffs. Like, every team needs a guy that can make shots like that. So, yeah, man. This team ain't going at some position, somewhere, whether it's point guard, whether it's just a big wing that you let run your offense at the end of games, like we just seen with the Claw the other day. Like, you got to have some guy that can make shots down the stretch, bro. So, and preferably, it's not your power forward.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like, you don't want, like, if Jalen Brunson's not here and we end up playing Cleveland, what happens is they're going to throw Okoro on him or someone. Probably either Okoro or one of the bigs they're going to throw at
him. Or Mobley. You're going to see a lot of Okoro, a lot of Mobley. Like, he's going to see a lot of Okoro on him and then Mobley flashing on a double.
Yeah, on a double, without a doubt.
It's not what you want, bro. You
want to have that ball out of Julius's hand. Julius has to be the secondary in that situation. Quite frankly, if Brunson is not there, we're losing that series. Just off 100%. Of matchups alone. Yeah, just off of matchups alone. You know what I'm saying? So if it's up to Julius to lead us anywhere, and the only way Julius is leading us is if Brunson isn't there. Yeah, if Julius is leading us anywhere, we're not winning a first round series.
Yo, because think about it, right? Like, one thing about, like, your point guard, right? Or just a guard in general, a guard slash wing. Like, when those guys get doubled, usually when they get doubled, like, it's because, like, a pick and roll is being blitzed or, like, the other team is trapping. Like, they're facing the double team, though, is the point that I'm making. Like, you can see it coming, and you can swing, and it turns into good offense. When you got when you're running offense through a power forward or, like, a guy that plays on the elbow, and he's got his back to the double, it's just different, man. Yeah, it's so hard, bro. This is not 1996, bro. It's so hard to run your offense through a guy that plays in the pivot.
There were so many plays the past few games where the moment Julius Randle turns his basket, there's a double being thrown at him. And that's what scares me, because I'm not confident in his ability to not willingly make the pass, but to see the pass before he willingly makes it. And I think that's...
As soon as he gets double, he start losing the ball. You look down.
See, but that's my thing. As in the position that he's in, if you're in the post and they're coming to trap, more often than not, whoever's coming to trap him is not a big. It's probably a guard. That's an easier pass to make to me than a big, because now you have a big who's taller. You can't see around them. You can't see the other side of the floor. If you got the wing or a guard that's throwing that double at you, it's easier to get the ball out to them. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's just, it should be easier for you. Now, if they're trapping you in the corner and you're facing that double in the right corner, let's say, it's going to be harder for you to get that ball out if they're trapping you and you're facing it. Now, if your back is turned, you can at least see it coming and protect the ball with your body at least. My issue with Julius has been how fast he notices that. I know he's a willing passer at this point. How fast can you notice the play and make an adjustment to the double team being thrown at you?
You know what else too, though? It's like making the right pass, though. Because, for example, he had a play tonight, right, where the Lakers doubled him, right, because he was going crazy.
Yeah.
So they was like, yo, this guy, in the second half, they were like, this guy ain't going to beat us.
Yeah.
They had made up their mind.
We got to shut him down.
So they were trapping him a lot in the second half. And it was one play where he literally dribbled the ball. RJ's in the corner, semi-open, but it was the right pass to make. Instead, he's trying to throw it to, I think, Quickly, but Quickly ends up cutting instead of staying where he is at the top of the key. So he ends up just throwing it over Quickly's head, and it turns into, like, an easy break for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, the easy pass is to RJ.
Right.
Like, why are you trying to go over there for, bro? Mm-hmm. Like, just get it out.
Just get it out. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like he's trying to make the pass that turns into the shot.
That leads to a score. Yeah, exactly. Instead of
sometimes you just gotta get it out and then let these guys rotate and scramble, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Once you, as the playmaker, once you make that first pass, especially when they're doubling, once you make that first pass, every single pass after they have to react to it. No one's already in position waiting for that for their man to get the ball. Because now, every person you pass it to, that man from the other man has to recover. Because now there's been a double to Julius. And that's sometimes why I get so frustrated with Julius, is because, one pass that you can make, you never know. That could be a domino effect to an easy basket. Starting from this side of the floor, it can swing around to the other basket and cut to the baseline. But sometimes I feel like he tries to find the pass to the score. And I think, like, yo, just get the ball out.
I always wonder, though? And maybe I'm just reaching right now. Mm-hmm. I always wonder if that's, like, a symptom of, like, the We Here team. The reason why I say that is... hear me out, bro. With the We Here team, if he didn't make the pass to the guy that was ultimately going to be the shooter, Reggie Bullock, for example, right? Like, if he just made the pass to Bullock and was dependent on Bullock to then make a secondary play, like, Bullock can't make a secondary play. He was absolutely, positively, and it's not a knock on him, right? He had a hell of a year for the Knicks. Shot the hell out of the ball all year long. Couldn't do anything else, though.
That's it.
You got guys now, though, bro. You got guys now, like a Quentin Grimes, like a RJ Barrett, that if you swing it to them, they could attack a closeout and make a lot of good shit happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I always wonder, like, is this a symptom of that team where he knew that if he threw it to Peyton, like, or if he threw it to Bullock, like, he knew that... It was going to turn into like a grenade, or like he was going to have to hustle to go get the ball back. You know what I mean? And then end up taking like a shot at the end of the shot clock.
Yeah.
But it's just like Julius, you have guys now that you could just throw it to them. Just throw it to them and let them make a play, bro. Like quickly, all of these guys are more than capable of making something happen off that initial pass.
Facts. And that's the thing about this team is that when they're 100% healthy, you don't have to worry about Julius making these plays. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what makes Brunson that much more special because, like I said, you can't double Julius if you have Brunson on the floor, especially if Brunson's cooking. Like,
I mean, you can, but you might pay for it.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it, for sure, without a doubt, especially the way Brunson gets to the basket. You're going to pay for it at some point. So I think your best bet is getting Brunson the ball, letting him go crazy, and letting Julius be that secondary guy, and then turn it up as soon as they start throwing that double to Brunson. Because then it's like, what do you do? If you throw a Okoro or Evan Mobley at Julius Randle without being doubled, he's going to the foul line almost every time.
Bro, during the 9-game win streak, right? Mm-hmm. I would be like licking my chops every single time when teams started blitzing Jaylen, especially with the way the Knicks shot the ball during that win streak. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is what y'all want to do?
Good luck.
Because once that ball start whipping around the perimeter, some guys out there that's going to knock down some shots.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think we match up well with them, but we have to continue winning these games that we have coming up. Like I said, the first game, it starts with Portland. Portland has to be the first game we get out of the way. And then after that, Denver. Denver just lost to Brooklyn tonight. They are beatable. We can't go
even though they look, even though they look unbeatable.
Even though they look unbeatable, they are beatable.
Some days,
right. But they are a beatable team, especially the brand of basketball that we play. So I'm not necessarily worried too much about losing that game. I'm just worried about...
I'm worried about that game.
No. I mean, like that. I'm worried about the game, of course. I'm just worried about Brunson being back and healthy so that they can work through.
I'm less worried if Brunson is back, though. I think he'll be back.
Like, but if Brunson
they did x-rays and MRIs and all that on the foot. It's all negative.
Yeah. I saw that. I was relieved. I was like, oh, I didn't even know it was that deep. But yeah,
they had to get x-rays for all that. So yeah, man.
And the first time they didn't even do that, which made me think, oh, he'll definitely be fine.
Right.
So when I seen him get hurt again, I'm like, maybe they should have did the MRI.
He did the MRI, and then they did it this time, and they didn't find anything. So I was like, all right, cool. He just needs some rest, which, as we always say, Brunson needs a lot of rest. That dude has been running through walls for this team ever since he's gotten here. Literally, yeah,
he just takes such a beating, bro.
Yeah. You see,
he just takes such a beating, bro. Yeah, man, all that shit, I don't care what nobody said. That shit all add up when you get to game 60-something, game 70 now.
Speaking of beatings, like, we don't get any calls, bro.
No, yeah, I mean.
Bro, so, Allen Hahn called the Clippers game the no blood, no foul game.
Ridiculous, bro. Like, we got games that we within reach. I meant to mention that. We got these games, like, we're not getting these calls. It's like, bro, like, these dudes is getting fouled left and right.
Yo,
we got a whistle tonight, though. We got a whistle tonight.
69-63 in like the third quarter of that game. Like, there was no points going up at all. Like, it was literally a bloodbath that entire game. So sometimes it's annoying watching. Like, and I know these guys go to the basket. We're talking about the Knicks. We're either shooting threes or getting to the basket. So it's like, when we don't get those foul calls, it's like, come on, bro.
I mean, I think the Knicks are top five in like free throw attempts. Like, they get to the line a lot.
They just don't make enough, but they get there. Right. I don't know. Anyway, regardless, shout out to the chat. Tosh said these are all great answers regarding the Julius Randle situation and the playoffs.
It's all about Jalen, bro. Jalen is the straw that stirs the drink.
That's it, man. And without Jalen, we have a lot to worry about. And it's as simple as that. But it's literally as simple as that.
All right. I have a question for you guys.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is Julius NBA again this year?
All NBA?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to say... Are there three teams or only two?
There's three.
He's there.
If there's three.
But understand what that means, though. That means that you are a top 15 player in the NBA this year. Mm-hmm. I think that he should be all NBA again, bro. Mm-hmm. And if this guy is all NBA again, we got to start talking about him a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing about that conversation, though, Joe. I think he was well on that path before last season. And I don't think anyone's against it.
Yo, look at the list of guys that have made multiple All-NBA teams. It's not as long as you think.
Not as long as you think, bro. This goes back to what were we in the chat while I was talking about. What were we saying in the chat? Where we talk about, I think it was Allen Hahn has said... statistically, he's better than Carmelo Anthony. It was like, who's your favorite Nick? And he was like, you know, of the last, you know, 10 years or so, whatever the case. And he was saying, you know, statistically, he's better than Carmelo Anthony. He was like, he got more points. I think that's what he said. He's got more points. But he was like, statistically, he's better than Carmelo Anthony. He said, but everyone loves Carmelo Anthony, even to the point where they like, yo, we should go get Carmelo. I think, you know.
I'm not going to do that yet.
Right. But I think fans are more nostalgic. I don't see where that fit would be. It would be nice. It would be... But then it would be a conversation. He's on the bench. He's never coming out. Like, you know what I mean?
You're talking about bringing Melo here.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody was saying.
No. We good on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody, I feel like fans just want to feel nostalgic and feel good about it. But that's all good. And so we actually sign him, and the dude's not getting off the bench. And then it's just this whole, now we have this whole side conversation about him.
Exactly. I'm good, bro.
But good. I didn't realize that he was up there in statistics, but he was beating Carmelo. I just didn't even realize that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting when he mentioned it. I was like, really?
So let's say this, though, about Julius and the whole Melo thing, bro. let's win a playoff series first.
Yeah.
Well, before, I don't know. Carmelo, what did he get? One?
I think
because if you look at
two or three.
We won one. We won.
I was gonna say two or three. I think we won one, bro.
Nah.
Yeah, we beat
the Celtics that one year. And then
we lost to the Pacers, right?
Oh, that was the only time we went to the playoffs?
I mean, it wasn't the only time we went, but it was the only series that I can recall us winning.
We had to play the Heat the other time.
We lost it to the Heat.
Yeah.
LeBron did this whole thing like this. Remember that?
I don't know what that was.
When Chandler hit him in the back, like he was stood there and he was running.
And then when
he hit him, like LeBron did all of this.
That was crazy.
I was so mad.
I'm not gonna lie, that pissed me the hell off.
I was mad.
Didn't Shump tear his ACL in that series too?
Yeah. Oh, was it that series or was it that
year? It was against Miami. Yeah. Yeah, that was against Miami.
You sure that wasn't during the year though? Versus Miami?
Somebody got hurt really bad against the Heat, I remember.
I remember it was against the Heat. I don't remember if it was the playoffs.
It had to be Shumpert. He's the only person that ever got hurt really bad on the Knicks at that time.
It wasn't Baron Davis. When did Baron Davis get hurt? When that knee popped inside out.
I don't even want to talk about
Josh, that. I remember we were looking at that and you could see his knee was out of place.
Yeah, when you see guys on the court waving to the bench, like, yo, let's get somebody over here, it's bad, bro. Right.
It's over.
Bro, I can see it now. I remember the step. I remember what his knee looked like when it buckled.
I remember that.
Anyway, the Carmelo and
we gotta revisit that, Al.
I said this to you earlier the other day. I'm like, by the time it's all said and done, there will be a Julius Randle was a better Nick than Carmelo Anthony Trent.
That's fair. And I think when it's actually time for that discussion, because it's way too premature now. When it's actually time, I think that Julius would be considered. I agree, he will be considered a better Nick at some point. But this team got to keep winning too.
Is it more of a disappointment with all of the numbers that he's done that might be better than Carmelo Anthony if they don't ever win a playoff series?
If the Knicks never win a playoff series
under Julius,
no, he's got it. He's got to win a playoff series when Julius is here. I'm sorry.
In order for
gotta happen, bro.
That conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't win a playoff series, we can't even have the discussion. I'm sorry.
I'm with you there. I can't disagree.
I don't know. Because it's not like Carmelo went deep into the playoffs.
He still won a series though, bro.
You gotta win.
You want to? Yo, I'm sorry. As a Knicks fan, bro,
series. Let's say we beat Cleveland. Now he's in the conversation with Carmelo. Now,
yeah,
he's still not in the conversation because I still need him to be here longer. But that moves that elevates him. Yeah,
that puts him in the conversation.
Bro, you got it, bro. We've been losing for 24 years, Dre. You gotta win a playoff series. You're not allowed to be here for 7 years and not win one playoff series, bro.
That's it. Yeah, that's facts.
You know what I mean?
But it also the same thing because Joshua was saying the same thing when we had Carmelo. We ain't have nobody, and the same thing goes with Julius. He's just now getting a good point guard. You know what I'm saying? We got this draft pick named RJ, who's very inconsistent. We got Quickly, who we talking about sixth man of the year. But like we're just getting these guys. Like we just got a real good point guard.
Hold on, Dre. But he's gonna have these guys because I know Quigley's coming back. He's gonna get extended. We're gonna have these guys for some years to come. So in these years, right? Let's say he got a 4-year window. He has to win a playoff series, bro.
I think we're gonna get that. But you just moved the goalpost before we even got there.
How did I move the goalpost?
You said that we have to win one first. Then you said after that we still got to talk. And Carmelo only won one series. So I'm saying if Carmelo.
Yeah, but you.
No,
I'm not gonna listen. What I'm not gonna do is this. I'm not gonna
in order for him to be in the conversation, he absolutely has to win one. Yeah,
he absolutely has to win one. But at the same time, like I'm not gonna say he's a better Nick than Carmelo if he wins one this year, and he's only been there for 4 years.
Facts. Like, and I'm like, also,
Put the time in. That's all I'm saying. Melo gave us 8 years, bro. Put the time in. That's all I'm saying.
How many years is this for Julius? Because then that does.
This is year four for Julius. Right,
so this is year four, and he get into the and he wins the first, and we win the series. It's almost like he's ahead of the game when it comes to Carmelo.
Yeah, see, and this.
I mean, he is, and keep winning though, bro. Keep winning though.
If we go into the second round and lose in seven games,
let me just say, with the caveat, as we've always said, even while Melo was here, Julius, from the moment he got here, was surrounded with a better team than Carmelo ever was. Well, not ever. I can't say ever.
I wouldn't say the moment he got here. That We Here team wasn't that good, though. That We Here team wasn't better than the 2012-2013 team.
No. It wasn't better than that team, but it definitely was a team that was built around Julius in a way that you can get to the playoffs. And we can't ever say, besides for one season, that that happened for Carmelo. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we did get there twice, but I personally believe that they took more time to build this
team. We got there three times, bro. We lost to Boston, then we beat Boston. And then we lost to Miami. Those were the three trips to the playoffs.
It was Boston. Boston, Miami, for sure. But that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I do feel like that squad around Carmelo, they didn't really put the squad around Carmelo that he needed to be successful.
They didn't. And shame on them, bro. Like, because they had opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, they could have amnestied, they should have amnestied Amari. Right? Mm-hmm. Got him up out of here. Because Billups could still play when they amnestied him.
Facts. Yeah, which... And I people were mad at me for a long time for saying that. I definitely would have amnestied Amari over Chauncey Billups. Simply because we still didn't have a point guard for a long time up until that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about now, Jalen Brunson and getting him now. Like, who was the point guard before we got him? Like, Raymond Felton? Like, outside of Stephon Marbury? So,
like, Ray Felton was a good player, though.
He wasn't the guy, but he was good. Yeah, he was a good player, but he goes into the list of other good guards that have played for the Knicks that weren't game changers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, somebody had to play the position. You know what I mean?
It's crazy, too, because if you look at... I think, did we talk about this before? Yeah, we did. The first Raymond Felton stint, right? Before the Melo trade, he was, I thought, a lot better player than his second time around after the Melo trade.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he was eating too much down there in South Carolina or what, but that second time he got here, he was still really good, but he wasn't the same as his first time around.
I mean, yeah, that trade to Denver didn't do good for his mental. I think he went to Denver, then he ended up in Portland.
He got into some trouble, I think, too, with a gun or some shit.
Yeah, it was a lot that happened. I think from Denver, he went to Portland, and in Portland, I think something happened there where I think they were upset about how he came back into camp with his weight a little bit too high.
Oh, it's always an issue, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, like, weight was always an issue with him, unfortunately. But like I said, I do just feel like that there was a front office that was more on the same page this time around than it was then with Carmelo Anthony. And I think that's what you're seeing now, when a team actually builds around their star players the way that they should be built around. I think we should have went out. Instead of looking for all these, we should have went out and got a guard back then to help Carmelo instead of putting the ball in his hands and making him a point forward. And we knew that wasn't Carmelo Anthony's game. But then we blamed Carmelo because he was making decisions questionably in that role. Also, with him being a four, he was a four the year that he won the scoring champion and had MVP votes. And then he went right
back. That was his best year.
That was his best year. And then he put him back at the three for the rest of his time here. And I just don't – the front office just never was on the same page. You had a few different coaches.
They made the Bargnani trade, which was a disaster.
This was stupid. It was just terrible. And Carmelo himself wasn't the greatest teammate to put on your team and lead anyway. I just
Melo needed an alpha around him to check him.
He did. Absolutely.
Which is why Billups should have never been amnesty.
Should have never been amnesty. And shout out to Josh. This is ironic as hell that we're having this conversation. And Josh dropped a comment. Shout out to the Don podcast with Josh. Josh said, "I was at the game. Crypto got nothing on MSG. Let's go Knicks." And the only reason why I'm saying that is because Josh, I remember Josh and I having these conversations during the Melo Knicks years. And he was not a fan. He was not a fan at all. And I never understood why. I understand now. I fully understand now why. But the team just wasn't, the front office just didn't do their job the right way. There wasn't the right coaching around them consistently. And there was just a whole lot going on that just was just a lot to me. Long story short, I think this is a better constructed team. Personally, it's a better constructed team. And I think that because of that, Julius will probably have a better stint as a Knick when it's all said and done, Carmelo.
I agree 100%.
Yep.
So there you go, Dre. I think when it's all said and done, Julius will be considered a better Knick, but he's still got to win now at least one playoff series. At least match that, bro.
Yeah. I think that always counts, the playoffs thing. But because, like, you know, I have my gripes with Carmelo, same way I have my gripes with Julius. And it's almost like the same thing, like getting rid of the ball, not trying to be selfish with that, you know, like take the last shot or make the right pass.
But the difference is Melo wasn't trying to get rid of the ball.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like at least Julius is like, yeah, I'm trying, guys. Yeah. I'm just maybe not very great at it.
That in itself is the reason why he will end his career as a better Knick than Carmelo Anthony, I think. Because he was just more of a willing passer.
I never thought that we would have a conversation talking about how
exactly
Julius is a better Knick than Carmelo. I never thought that was going to happen. I never
not
thought
a better player, not a better career, but just a better Knick. That's what we're saying.
Right. But that's a credit to Julius, bro.
Right, it is. It is. Because I didn't think that would be
That's why I said if this dude end up getting another All-NBA nod, like, we got to start talking about him differently, man.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know Carmelo, you know, what is it, the USA team, all those times he played for the USA. You know, he did different things when he was with the Nuggets and all kinds of stuff like that. But like you said, as a better Knick, yeah, for sure, 100%. I just didn't think that was even going to happen, so.
Yeah, we're surprised about that conversation.
Nobody's seen this coming 4 years ago, bro.
No. Josh says Melo has failed in many ways. I'll admit that. I just don't think he was the guy to build around. Phil failed him more than anyone, without a doubt. I mean, I can't disagree.
We always said that. We said he's like a two or three option, Carmelo.
Yeah,
he needed
that.
He wanted to be number one, and there was like no way around that.
Exactly. And I see it now. I was a big Melo fan then, but I mean.
I think you could have won with him, but it just really everything had to be perfect, bro.
Yeah.
And you had to have he could have been the guy, but I think that he needed a kind of like a Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson situation where he wasn't necessarily one playing with a two. It was more of like a 1A and 1B. And then maybe like another guy, like maybe a more consistent version of RJ. I think that's a team that could have really did some things, but we'll never know.
I think if you brought somebody in like Derrick Rose to play with Carmelo, I think that probably at that time would have worked well with him.
At that time, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, at that time. But anyway, I digress. There's a lot that we could continue to talk about, but we've been here for a lot longer than we wanted to on this late night at 1:31 a.m. Late as hell. I guess the time went ahead and we weren't prepared.
It doesn't feel this late at all.
But that's really all. That's really all I got. Hopefully we can get this dub on Tuesday. I will be out of town. I have a corporate work event to attend in Florida, so I won't be here.
Oh, are you going to be corporate job?
What just happened?
Tuesday I got a corporate. Yeah, you ain't gonna be in on Tuesday, man. You talking about?
Hopefully you guys can see one of these handsome faces on your screen on Tuesday. If not, we'll see you guys on Saturday when we play.
Yo, Dre, what's good, bro? We rocking Tuesday?
I know. I work nights. That's why I don't do the show during the week.
That's right.
Oh, but, come on, man.
But the following week, I'm on furlough.
Okay. Okay, so we'll see what we can do. Hopefully, we're gonna
hold you to that.
We can get Rick in here on Tuesday, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because we still ain't we ain't formed Voltron yet.
We still ain't formed Voltron. What's up?
Yeah. Damn.
We ain't get the whole full screen in here yet. Damn. Like, I need four screens in this one screen. I need that.
Yeah, 100%.
People need that. Anyway, thank you. If you're here, drop a like, subscribe, tell a friend. As Joe always says, tell your pastor, tell your mammy, your auntie, your uncle.
All of them.
I don't know what the words we be using. I don't know if any pastors gonna be watching this show like that now.
Listen, if they're a Knicks fan, they use them words.
Hey, man. They definitely sure do.
Yeah, if you're a Knicks fan, you've been using that language. That's light to you.
You're a Knicks fan, I don't care what denomination you come from.
Yeah. You've been using these words. You can't convince me otherwise.
You can't convince me. Oh, you're not a Knicks fan. But anyway, if you're here, drop a like. That's all we really could ask you for. If you're listening on the playback on any podcasting platforms, we ask that you hit us with a 5-star and leave a review. Other than that, until next time, you guys have a great one, and peace, man. Y'all have a good one.
Peace, love, and orange and blue light.
Orange and blue light, baby. That's it. Peace, y'all.
Peace.